Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round three recap of the Northern Trust. And joining me to break it all down, let's bring him in. I've got Kyle Porter on the line. What up, KP?
Not much. Another week. Another Vince Carter gif on Saturday. Somebody was getting on me about, oh, well, you know, you tweeted enough, you might get one right.
It's like I saw that.
I do it like once a week. I don't know what to tell you. My percentage is like 96%.
How often do you tweet this time?
I missed it all. What did you tweet?
He already tweeted out the Vince Carter gif on a Saturday night saying it's over. So KP, how often do you do the Saturday night tweet? This has got to be fairly rare.
Yeah, not often, but DJ doesn't finish 3-3 to take a 5-stroke lead into Sunday very often either. So
that is very true. And you heard him right there. It's Mark Immelman coming all the way from, I don't even know if you're in Boston, outside of Boston, from the scene. Hey, Mark.
I'm in Providence, Rhode Island right now because the Boston is not in Boston and it's closer to Rhode Island. So it's about a 25 minute commute down the road. It's a beautiful spot here, I've got to tell you. And if the weather was like this all year long, I'd like to live in this place because the golf courses are great. TPC Boston is awesome, man. I don't know what the pictures were like on TV, but it is beautiful. It's so well framed. I mean, with the fescue grass and those natural bunkers and the humps and hollows and stuff on the greens, it's a good spot. And the weather's been great. And DJ showed up. Oh, Scotty Scheffler showed up too, but it's been good so far.
Yes, the aerial shots are excellent of TPC Boston. And you know who else likes TPC Boston? Who else is enjoying it? Dustin Johnson, who is going to take a 5-shot lead into Sunday. He's 5 clear of both Harris English and Scotty Scheffler. KP, what we've been kind of saying week after week, someone else can be the number one player in the world. And not only can Dustin Johnson become the number one player in the world on Sunday, but he can also jump all the way up to number one in the FedEx Cup standings.
Yeah, he can. And, you know, you've been on this for a while. And I think, I don't know, it's not like a unique take, but I think you've had a really good spin on it of like, hey, DJ's greatest attribute is his ability to forget everything, to not remember what he did yesterday, the last hole, the last shot. And that works both ways, right? It works when you shoot 80 or you shoot 80, 80, 78, like he did in July. And it also works when you shoot 60, because I think sometimes you can get in your head either way. Like you go out, shoot 80, 80, 78. I mean, if I don't know, Gary Woodland did that, he'd be not a mess, but it would just be, it would mentally be very difficult. Or if you go out and shoot 60, you start feeling yourself a little bit, you can go out and shoot 72 the next day. And DJ just, he just goes out, and I said this on HQ, he's just going to go out on Sunday and try to shoot a 65. He's not going to be worried about number one. He's not going to be worried about Eastlake. He's not going to be worried about any of that. And that is the quietest, most peaceful, best place to be for a professional golfer, especially when you're playing at that level.
I'm glad you brought up the HQ segment, because the question that was posed to us, which now I want to hear Mark's take on this, is what is Dustin Johnson's motivation for Sunday? And I was kind of on the same track as Kyle was here, Mark. Like, I don't think he needs motivation or even cares about motivation. He's just going to go out there and try to shoot something real low again.
No, Dustin Johnson, I mean, look, I think what's happening on the exterior belies what's happening on the interior a little bit, because you don't stumble into 22 victories. I don't care how talented you are. And I found the response, because I was out there on the course with him Saturday en route to that 60. And I found his response afterwards fascinating. And for a while, I thought, I was like, yeah, whatever, you know, because the question was pitched, so DJ, you shoot 60, are you disappointed? And he was like, no, not at all. Now, the guy, realistically, we were in the air calculating that this dude could possibly shoot 57 just at a canter. And he sort of fumble his way in there, and he actually grinded his way to 60 because he made a few, you know, nice saving par putts, and the game sort of went sour for a while. And in watching this from a front row seat, I saw a guy who didn't just pack it in. He was knocking in 4-5 foot putts and stuff and such to keep the score alive. Then on 17, he's got like 12 feet downhill fast, and he hit a really wishy-washy looking putt. I mean, he looked like me hoping that the ball was going to go in the hole if I was standing over the thing.
He did. That's true.
You know, when you got to hit a putt, you're like, oh, please go in, and you make this horrible stroke at the thing. The ball nearly melts into the cup but doesn't go down. And then on 18, I'm out there, and he makes a strange play with driver off the tee because he can get there with 3 wood and an iron, and then lays up and doesn't make the birdie and shoots 60. But afterwards he goes, no, I'm happy with 60. That's a heck of a round of golf. And so I'm looking at this going, this is a guy that's thinking, okay, it could have been 59, but today I shot 60. I played my way into contention in this thing, and I'm going to continue to build on that. And to Kyle Porter's point, then finishing with the exclamation point that he did today, the motivation is that this dude wants to win the tournament. He wants to beat everyone's brains in. He wants to show you that in his face. And he wants to win the FedEx Cup because he hasn't done that yet. And I know people joke about it, but it's a thing now. You win the FedEx Cup. There's the big bonus, obviously. But it's another check on the resume.
So when you talk about his exterior kind of belying like what lies underneath, are you talking about his kind of general toughness, like within himself?
Yeah. Think about the shots that he's hit under pressure at times. I mean, we were in a rain delay, and they showed the rain fill from this tournament a few years ago where, I don't know if you remember, he's coming down the stretch with Spieth. I'm sure you do, Kyle. And TJ just blasts this ball, you know, 350 over the corner of the dog leg. It's a wedge in there tight to win. And then I watched two at the US Open, 18 at Oakmont. Kyle, you've played there. You know the golf course. 18 is no handshake finish. And he laces a drive down there, hits a 6-iron behind the flag, knocks the birdie putt in. So he's got this element about him, but he hides that because he's like, oh, whatever. You know, I make a birdie, I'm like, oh, whatever. I'm not over the moon or what it is. But there's got to be this fire burning inside. And I get the sense the toughness, desire, all that stuff is inside there. He just doesn't show it like a tiger, for argument's sake.
I agree with you. I think that's right. I think that DJ is, I think not only is he tough, I think he's like, at least on the course, a lot smarter than people like to joke about it. And it's like, well, DJ's genius is that he like comprehends all this information and then hits the shot in a very short amount of time. I mean, you've joked about how Austin doesn't even have the numbers and it's kind of a mess, but it's almost like he doesn't need to go through the whole process. He just hits the shot. And I think that's what he's so good at and why it benefits him and guys like him to have some sort of shot clock, because that ability to hit shots and process information or whatever it's a skill. Like, it really is. But I disagree with you. I don't think he's thinking about Eastlake. I don't think when he's off the course, sure, maybe. But when he's playing his round, I do think guys like Harry Higgs or Cameron Davis, who you followed today, or even like a Scottie Scheffler, I think they're a little bit thinking about other things. I don't think DJ is thinking about any of that. Maybe not even off the course. Probably not off the course. So I think his ability to be so singularly focused on whatever shot he's hitting is one of the greatest benefits of any skill that any player has on tour.
No, I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. Not for 1 minute did I'm like say he's thinking of winning the FedEx Cup. I'm like, he knows what he's got to do to win this tournament, to gain the number one spot, to continue this good, rich vein of form, because there's all of these things that go along with it, the world's number one ranking. And let's be honest, all of us have got egos, even if it's just a little bit. And he had fallen out of the conversation a little bit when it came to world's number one. It was all about Justin. It was all about Rory. It was all about John Rahm. And DJ was sort of a secondary player. But now he's just come around saying, look, yeah, I might have been that guy that shot a few 80s, but I'm for real. And I've got to tell you one more time to yesterday's round, because I saw it with my own two eyes. He was in his greens reading book a bunch. Mm. And sometimes you can see when DJ goes like, ah, whatever, and I'll listen to Austin and pull a trigger. But that guy was grinding his way through that back nine en route to 60. And this wasn't a guy that was sort of wiping his rear end on a round of golf. He was, I tell you what, he was working hard. And again, it showed today because on this course, even though it's a birdie fest, things can go wrong quickly. We've seen that.
Yeah.
And I've seen that a couple of times when someone would come out fast and then all of a sudden you get on the wrong side of some of these holes and in those holes, 12, 13, 14, 15 bite you and you shoot 71 or two. So I mean, he's showing pedigree. Of that, I have no doubt.
There are a couple of really great Justin Ray stats. Of course, the last player on tour to lose a five-shot lead entering the final round, Dustin Johnson.
DJ,
2017 WGC, the China champions. Who
won that?
That was it, wasn't Xander, was it?
Was it Woodland?
Well,
goodness.
Here we go. It was Justin Rose. Yes.
There we go.
Justin Rose. And the conversion rate for 5+ shot leads, 82%, 24 for 29 since 2010. So, KP, your Vince Carter gif might be safe one more week.
Yeah. I mean, it is a little concerning that it's DJ. I mean, the China event, you know, is the WGC HSB champions in China. That wasn't great. But you brought this up, Rick. I think you said he bounced back to win in his next start.
It was not immediately the next start because that was Hero World Challenge. I looked it up. It was Tournament of Champions.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, it's a little like you don't. I mean, we'll know after five or six holes, right? Because when DJ loses it, you can usually tell early on. I always go back to the U.S. Open in 2010. He quadruple on the fourth or whatever. But I don't know. There's just, I think the other thing, there's not a lot of guys that could somebody go out and shoot 60 tomorrow? Sure. Daniel Berger could go out and shoot 60, 61, but there's not a ton of firepower right behind him. There's some, you know, Oosthuizen can be great at times. Berger can get hot. Scheffler, obviously 59 earlier this week, but you don't have the huge, huge names right behind him going into Sunday.
This golf course, the way it sets up, I think it'll be hard for him not to win. And the reason why I say so is it's soft early. It's like a handshake. And then it's strong through the middle part of the golf course. Like I would say holes 8 through about holes 15-ish, 14, yeah, certainly. And then it's got this finish where you've got 16, which is a shortish hole. If you've got some gumption, you can make a birdie there. 17, he's going to have a wedge. 18, it's essentially a par 4 for him. So if someone posts, the guy in the final group has got everything in front of him. It's like Augusta National. So I just get the sense that being in the final group here is an advantage and having a lead is an advantage. And all I want to see is him to get onto social media one time and go, yo, Brooks, what up? As soon as he gets this thing done tomorrow evening.
That would be very off-brand for DJ, though. DJ,
that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
DJ's above that. It would
break Twitter if he did that. DJ might win over $1 million on Sunday, and you can win $1,000 on Sunday with no need to put any of your own money at stake. Just go to cbssports.com/golfprops to play. A link is in the description, so there's no excuse. And here's one of the questions that aged very poorly from the time that I wrote it. Gentlemen, how many birdies, or better, will Dustin Johnson make in the final round? Mark, the line, unfortunately for me, is 5.5. So would you like over 5.5 or under with the knowledge that he made 5 in round 1, 9 in round 2, and 7 on Saturday in round 3?
What's his lead right now? Is it 3, right?
5.
5. I might go under.
Because he doesn't have to keep the pedal down?
Yeah. You know, it's a par 71. If he gets out there and shoots 67, that gets him to something miles under par. I think he's out of reach. So, I may go under on this one.
All right,
I'm going under also. The putter has been just absurdly hot the last 2 days. And
so that's going to switch off, right?
I think he's just been putting way beyond. I mean, I think DJ's a really good putter. I think DJ's putting is the most underrated skill of any player on the tour. Like, for some reason, there's this narrative of like, oh, DJ can't putt. DJ's like a top 30 putter. Like, he's really, really good at putting. But it's been a lot the last 2 days. So, and I don't know. I think he's going to be just playing to win, especially down the stretch, because you can make big numbers. So I'll say under.
What I think was the most impressive round of the day was Scottie Scheffler's 67, because Mark, when you're trying to back up a 59 and you go out and make bogey on number two, a par five, which you're in the middle of the fairway with a five iron, you make bogey there. I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. He can't back up this 59. We are about to see this thing derail. He ends up birdieing the third, so he bounces right back. He shoots a 4-under 67, and he is in a tie for second. I was very impressed with his round today.
I'm very impressed with Scottie Scheffler. You know, when he came off the Corn Ferry Tour, you got to have some chops to lead the money list over there and to win that order of merit, and he proved that. But, you know, one always reserves judgment until you've seen the guys play at the highest level. And since he's got to the PGA Tour, he has shown that he is for real. I mean, you don't stumble into the final group on a Sunday at a major championship. So he's played in the final group at the PGA alongside DJ over there. He's shown his pedigree. He's got his own technique. But I love the guy's savvy about life and the game. He's quotable. He's smart. He's easygoing. He seems to play the game fun. And I love a guy who, after he shot 59, gets asked a question and he goes, well, it was kind of just like playing a game of Wolf out there, you know? It was just aim at flags and go. And that tells me that the guy's got everything in perspective. And so the person that is in that mindset, you make a mistake early, you're like, I'm okay, I'm playing well, I'll pick off some. And that's what he showed today. There was a stumble early, but then he sort of did what he had to do to right the ship, and it was a very mature round of golf.
I love your point about the Corn Ferry Tour, Mark, because you look at the last, I think Sung Jae led it the year before Scheffler. Is that right? So, and I'm pretty sure he made it to East Lake last year, Tour Championship. Scheffler is almost certainly going to make it unless he just falls apart over the next five rounds. So if you look at the top of the Corn Ferry, I mean, that's like pretty, it's not like you finish first on the Corn Ferry and you're like the 100th best guy on the PGA Tour. You're like a top 30, 40, 50 guy at worst, it seems like, based on the last few years of evidence that we have. And I think that speaks to how competitive that tour is. And yeah, I think in the future you start looking at some of the results there and you're like, oh, we need to like take these guys seriously. First year coming into the PGA Tour when maybe 15, 20 years ago, you wouldn't have done that quite as much.
So that means that Will Zalatoris will be our PGA Tour Rookie of the Year next year.
He's good. He's really good.
Can I get the odds on that right now? Harris English, speaking of guys and their status, doesn't even have full status this year. So he finished last season in that 126 to 150, couldn't get out of Corn Ferry final. So Kyle, I mean, we've been very impressed with his game. Kind of, he's very aesthetically pleasing swing. We know he gained strokes in all four major categories, but like, there's kind of more to it. Like he's legit.
Yeah. Somebody, this just had me flummoxed for like an hour, but somebody on Twitter today, your boy, Timothy Frank.
Oh, fantasy golf man, right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. He said, I think Harris English and Jordan Spieth switched bodies. Like they just switched persons.
They might have. That would make a lot more sense than what we've seen otherwise.
Harris English has been awesome this year. And, it's not just his game has been really well-rounded. You know, he's the only guy, I'm looking at the top seven right now. He's the only guy that has a negative strokes gain category, and it's been off the tee, which is kind of weird for him. He's, I think, normally better than that off the tee, especially on a course where you put a lot of three woods in his hand off the tee. You know, you've got some par fours where you kind of forces you to hit three wood. That should be a great thing for him. It should play into his hands. He has, you know, I'm interested, like, that can get you into trouble, as Mark alluded to earlier. Like, there's some real bad places to miss at TPC Boston. So, hopefully that doesn't catch up with him on Sunday. But, yeah, everything else has been really good. And he's been, you know, people may or may not have been paying attention. He's been awesome for like the last 6 to 8 weeks. He's been really, really like top 15, top 10 on tour, consistent. So, great. Another great week for him.
You know, sometimes, certainly in my experience, you see these virtuosos or you see these folks that they just ooze talent. And Harris English is one of those. You saw it even in college.
Yeah.
You saw it as he made his way through the Korn Ferry Tour and route to the PGA Tour and won early. When the game sort of comes easy to one, then sometimes one can rest on one's laurels and then you get ahead of yourself and you don't really stick to the grind and you don't do the right things off the course and you aren't fundamental in your approach. And when I caught up with his instructor, Justin Parsons, and I said to him, what's the change? And he said, honestly, it's just us getting before the Euro when Harris didn't have status on the tour and was playing on like a past champions status. They were like, you're going to get into minimal events, but you better start working hard and you work on the right things and you be disciplined about your pre-shot routine and these things you can control. And then when you're in tournaments, you go and make the best of the situation. And he's taken to that. And apparently off the course, in practice, in preparation, he has really had the nose to the grindstone. And it's nice to see the work paying off because oftentimes it doesn't right away. But this is what I know for sure. You take talent and you mix this with some discipline and a bunch of hard work. It's the recipe for success. And that's what we're seeing right now.
I love it. We'll see how he does on Sunday. I want to talk about Tiger Woods. I want to talk about Rory McIlroy. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back. All right, gentlemen, it was an early finish for Tiger and Rory. Were they the first group out this morning?
They were third.
Okay, well, they're going to be the second earliest group out tomorrow on Sunday because they played pretty poorly. It combined 5 over. Tiger was 2 over. Rory was 3 over. Rory was playing well until he hit a ball literally backwards that looked like I hope it hit a rock. I don't know what happened.
I think his club hit a rock. It has to be the worst feeling it was a par 5, the second hole. You hit a shot, it was back right, I think he was, and he hits it backwards into the water. So he has to drop like 100 yards back down the fairway. So to walk all the way to the green, take a stroke, and then walk all the way back is that's a tough one. That's not good. He had 2 triples in his first 7 holes. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is because you watch it and it's like, I don't know, he's hitting good shots, but then he puts himself into the, and Tiger did this on Saturday also. You hit his misses, he's not missing in the right spots. He's missing in really, really bad spots to where you open up you give yourself the opportunity to make a double or a triple. And that's what Tiger has done that this week a little bit. We look at the chunk chips. We look at, you know, some of his bad play around the greens, and it's like, wow, he's terrible with his wedges right now. Well, maybe, but also it's the approach game that has put him into these situations that are untenable. Like, and that's what he's been so good at his whole career, missing the right spot, lag putt, don't bring double and triple into play. He hasn't been very sharp in that area this week.
Mark, I don't know if you got a chance to lay eyes on either of these two today. It was early on Saturday. I mean, is this a situation? The Rory thing is fascinating to me because he was the most dominant player on the face of the earth before the shutdown, and now he seems very lost. And maybe we just file this into golf is hard. Like, I don't know what else to say.
Well, you know me, I'm probably going to go that way anyway. Because I did see 6 holes of it, I think it was. And my take on Tiger was, he just looks a little lethargic. You know, he doesn't, there's no real energy to one. And there's a weird sort of a thing that the players will tell you about getting into the rhythm of the competition and the rhythm of the round and the flow of the round. And that happens when you make the odd save, when you miss a target, and that keeps the score alive. And then you suddenly hit a good one, then you make a birdie, and then you run, you sort of surf the waves. And then when you fall off, you paddle hard and you get yourself back up. There's not much of that going on with Tiger right now. And with Rory, I just see a guy that, like I said about DJ, these guys' egos are big, right? They want to be the alpha dog. And it looks like he's trying so hard right now, and he's trying so hard to hit the ball perfect, trying so hard to do all the right things around the greens. And the right thing around the greens sometimes needs you, and the analogy I would draw is to, like when you're racing down the road, you don't grip the steering wheel very tightly. You know, you just need a fingertip to drive a race car, if you will. And his numbers around the greens are desperate. I think he's last in the field scrambling.
Yeah.
And on the greens, he's not that good either. And that just tells me it's a guy that's doubtful, trying very hard, holding the club too tight, all these sorts of things. And then the more you miss, the more this starts to snowball. And I'm keen to see. I don't want to belabor where he is, because just like DJ, he can turn this around, and Tiger can too. But where's the crossroads? I want to know over the next couple of weeks, how do you suddenly turn the tide here? Do you just start, you know, swinging for the fence like he normally does and hit a few good iron shots and maybe rattle a few putts in? Or is there something that needs to start changing? Because right now you can see the frustration in Rory.
Yeah, you definitely can. And I thought, I watched most of the round on Saturday. I wrote about it a little bit, but it was kind of morose. I don't know what the right word is. It was kind of sad. Like, you know, they go out, they're 5 over, they lose by, if you're looking at Scheffler and DJ on Friday, they lose by 28 combined to those two guys from Friday. And normally when, look, like when Rory and Tiger are playing and you've got like the early gallery there on a Saturday, it's at least still kind of a show. Like, it's Rory and Tiger, right? 100 combined PGA Tour wins, all these major championships. And on Saturday, it was like there was nothing going on. There was nothing to play for. They were just kind of, yeah, just rolling around. It was tough to watch, honestly. It was kind of brutal.
Well, you bring up a point that brings me to something that I wanted to say, and I'm going to admit that I was wrong, because I actually took on Doug Bell on the show about the value of the crowds and how, you know, when you're vying for a PGA championship, the stuff is still going inside of you, which is real.
Yeah.
When you're not playing well, like I say, you're at that crossroads. If you're a Rory or if you're a Tiger, you've got this adulation being heaped on you by all these crowds all of the time, whether you ting off at 7:45 a.m. or 2:45 p.m. And that stuff lifts one's spirits. So even if you're not going very well and folks are cheering for you the whole way, that can sort of get one going. But when you're out at 8 a.m. this morning, with a spotter, one television guy, and a few live cameras, that's not going to gee you up very much. So I can see now, you know, as we sort of now 11 weeks into this return, that the crowds have a real effect on guys like that, because they're just so used to being pumped up by everyone around them.
That's a good point.
Well, they're going to get another crack at it on Sunday. They are paired together, second group out. I want to see that Rory bounce in a step from green to tee. That's what I want to see. If you can watch the final round on CBS this weekend, streaming begins at 2:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Watch it on the web at cbssports.com. Watch it on your mobile device in the CBS Sports app, or you can stream it on OTT devices via the CBS Sports app on Roku, Apple TV, or Fire TV. Gentlemen, Dustin Johnson is minus 600 on William Hill, meaning you have to lay $600 to win 100. We're picking DJ here. Is there any, I mean, right? Or we don't have to waste time. We're wasting daylight, right?
That's what they say. Put me down for $1,200.
we're picking DJ, but I think that's unbettable, right? Because he's the last guy to lose the 5-stroke 54-hole lead. He's going to win, but if there's somebody of that caliber that would lose, it would be him. So I think he's going to win, but I don't think you can bet it.
This is the definition of picking up nickels in front of a steamroller.
Yes.
Because my
favorite quote.
Because Dustin Johnson is the most likely to shoot an 80 tomorrow, most likely to shoot a 59 tomorrow. all right, gentlemen, we're going to enjoy it either way. See if DJ can close this bad boy out. Let me thank Mark Immelman. You can find him on Twitter at @Mark_Immelman. Let me thank Kyle Porter. You can find him at Kyle Porter CBS. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the sun. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes now streaming. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with the Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. The subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.